All right. So as Jared mentioned earlier, we're in a series on fasting. So today we're specifically going to talk about Daniel fasting. Why did Daniel fast? What is it? And then like, how do we do that well? So I'm going to go ahead and just share a story from my own life, and then we'll get into the scripture and kind of unpack like, what does the Bible say about Daniel fasting and what it does. So for me, Jared was the one who like taught me about Daniel fasting, encouraged me to do it. And I've been doing it for the past couple of years regularly. Every January, I'll do a 40-day Daniel fast with a different theme. And this past January, my theme was family. So I was praying for, you know, my wife and kids. I was praying for my extended family during that whole 40 days. And it really wasn't until I was preparing for this that I kind of reflected on, hey, what's happened over the past, 10 months in my family? And so what I noticed was this year was the year that Brianna and I and our family received our call to church plant. That was huge for us. And also this year, recently, a bunch of my family members have decided to go through Heal the Made Whole. If you're not familiar with that, it's basically a spiritual freedom kind of training that we do. And so my brother went through it. He went all the way through. He got set free from a bunch of stuff, and he got set more on fire. My mom has started doing it, and she's had huge breakthrough in forgiving some people that she's had unforgiveness toward for like decades. And my other brother and my dad are both starting to do it as well. So literally everybody in my immediate family has decided to do it. And just for context, like these are things I've been praying for my family members for like years and years. And it wasn't until this year that they started to experience breakthrough in these areas. And I can point back to that Daniel fast and say, hey, it was when I sacrificed, it was when I really sought the Lord sacrificially that he started moving sovereignly to bring this breakthrough, not only in my life, but in the life of, you know, my immediate family. So that's just one example of the power of Daniel fasting and what it can do in your life. So we're going to go ahead and jump into the scriptures here. So I'm going to read verse 8 through 10. So as we've read, it says, but Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat the unacceptable foods. Now God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel, but he responded, I'm afraid of my lord the king, who's ordered that you eat this food and wine. If you become pale and thin compared to the other youths your age, I'm afraid the king will have me beheaded. So I want to talk briefly a little bit about like why fast. The thing that stood out to me the most when I read this passage was Daniel, in another translation here it says determined. Daniel was determined. In another translation it says Daniel resolved. And so before Daniel even started fasting, he had to resolve inside himself that he was going to do this, right? It took this decision, this determination that he was going to set himself to fast and seek the Lord. And so when we fast, it's important that we resolve, we make that decision inside ourselves like, hey, I am going to do this. I'm going to follow through. I'm going to succeed. And it's going to be hard, but I'm going to do it. I imagine for Daniel, it doesn't say this in the Bible, but I'm kind of putting myself in his shoes, right? As he's surrounded by all these people who are eating meat and wine and having a good old time with this great food, right? And he and his four friends are there with their, you know, water and vegetables that we read that they're eating. They probably faced some ridicule, right? They probably faced some mocking from the people who are around them, right? Because they stand out. And so sometimes when we fast, it's going to go against the grain. And we need to have resolved inside ourselves, like, okay, no matter what comes, no matter what people say, I'm going to stay the course. I'm gonna do this. Another thing that kind of goes along with that is fasting requires a level of boldness in us. But it can set us free from like the fear of what other people think, the fear of man. If you notice the chief of staff, when Daniel asks him, he says, "Hey, can we do this fast? Can we not eat those foods?" And the chief of staff was afraid, right? There was fear inside of him. And I believe the chief of staff was afraid, right? It tells us he's worried what the king would think, right? So we see an example of someone who is afraid, right? Because he's living for the world, right? He's living, hey, I want to please the king. I want to maybe move up the ranks and all that. And Daniel's in a different worldview, right? He says, I don't care about the king. I don't care about the people around me. I want to please God. And so we see because of that, Daniel is not afraid, right? He's bold. He does this thing that's going to make him stand out and potentially face some backlash. And so fasting helps us overcome fear. It increases our dedication to the Lord, and it kind of cuts away the world. People have said it disconnects us from the flesh or from the world. So fasting also sets us apart, right? So Daniel stood out. So Jesus wants us to stand out from the world. A lot of Christians, if you look at them, you don't necessarily see that they're any different from the people in the world, right? The other people around them. But I'll share a story in a minute of how fasting makes us stand out, right, in the world. I'll share a story right now, but it can provide an opportunity for us to seed sow and just share our faith with other people. So I fast every Monday. So just 24-hour fast once a week, just to maintain that lifestyle. And on this particular Monday, I was at work. I fast Sunday dinner to Monday dinner. So I was at work, end of the day, and so I was close to the end of my fast. And I had a meeting with some coworkers, and one of them walked in with tamales. So you'll find that when you fast, people offer you food, right? And there's just food everywhere, right? What?
That's
fact. Yeah, it's true. So they came in with tamales. There were four of us. They had four plates, so handed everybody a plate, you know, and they're like, hey, dig in. And all of a sudden in me was that, like, fear. Like, oh, no. Like, I've got to eat this. Like, what are they going to think? Right? And so in that moment, I grabbed a fork, and I just started eating tamales. Right? I broke my fast, and I felt so bad. I was like, oh, Lord, I was committed, you know, and then just, boom, out of nowhere, tamales, right? And so I was praying a little bit afterwards, and the Holy Spirit started talking to me, and he said, Anthony, that was a missed opportunity. I said, like, tell me more. What do you mean? He said, well, you could have just told them you're fasting, and that would have been this opportunity to, like, pique their curiosity, to seed sow, to tell them a little bit more, you know, if they ask some questions. And I missed it. Like, I missed that opportunity. And then I think it was a week later, kind of similar situation. I had a coworker like in my room getting some work done, and I was in there, and it was time for lunch. And she's like, hey, I'm just gonna hang out. I'm just gonna keep working a little bit. Like, you can go to lunch. I'm like, oh, no, I'm gonna hang out. Let's get some work done. And she's like, oh, are you not eating lunch? And since the Holy Spirit had coached me up the week before, I was like, no, I'm on spiritual fast. And she got all curious. She's like, wait, are you like Muslim or something or what? And I'm like, no, I'm a Christian. I'm just like seeking the Lord and spending that time in prayer. And so fasting can provide us an opportunity to seed sow and tell other people, like, hey, I'm a believer, and I live out my faith, right? I sacrifice for my faith. I don't just show up to church and then go do whatever I want. My faith costs me something. And that touches people, that moves people when you share stories like that. So let's go on to verse 11 through 14. This goes on to say, Daniel spoke with the attendant who had been appointed by the chief of staff to look after Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Please test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water, Daniel said. At the end of the 10 days, see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food. Then make your decision in light of what you see. The attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion and tested them for 10 days. What stood out to me when I read this, and I've read this story a bunch, I never noticed this, But the guy we read about in verses 8 through 10, the chief of staff, he was afraid. He said no. And then Daniel actually talks to somebody different. I always thought this was the same guy. But he talks to the attendant who the chief of staff is like under the chief of staff. And he asks him, he's like, I'm going to try again. I got to know. I'm going to try again. And so really here, Daniel, we see him taking a risk, right? He already got a no. Somebody said, no, we're not doing that. And he's like, I'm gonna keep going. I'm going to press in because he had resolved, right? So he takes that risk. He steps out in faith. And the guy says, yes, like, we'll do it. But what I love here that Daniel does is notice he gives a different ask, right? The first time he's like, hey, can I just not eat the meat and the wine? I was like, no. But this time Daniel's really clear, right? Daniel says, hey, I want to eat vegetables and water. So he's very clear on the specifics of what he's going to eat. And he says, hey, just do it for 10 days. So he's very clear on the time frame. And this guy says, yes, let's do that. So when you fast, I found clarity is really important for yourself, right? Pick a clear theme so you know what you're praying for. Pick clear restrictions, because when you get, you know, hungry, you're like, well, yeah, I could probably eat that. That'd be fine. But if you've made it clear to yourself, hey, no, I'm not eating this, or I'm only having water, only liquids, then you don't have to like go through that mental process. And then the time frame, right? Know when you're going to end so that you're like, hey, I know when I'm done, when it's a win, when I can break it, and I'm clear on that. So another thing we see Daniel doing is, right, he's fasting in community, right? And we're going to have the opportunity to do that, as Jared shared in January. A bunch of us are going to fast together. And I found it really helps me be successful, right? Like, when I fast alone, I'm like, nobody knows. Like, I eat this thing, I feel like I'm kind of done. But when I'm fasting with other people, I know they're fasting too. I'm like, man, I can't. Like, I'm going to push through. So that's another way that can really help. I mean, it's important to fast alone, but when you can pull other people in, it helps both of you succeed in that fast. So for me, I don't remember a specific story here, but I do know that the times, like I've said, that I've broken my fast early, I haven't been successful, were the times where I was doing it alone. And when I've done it with other people, it's like, man, I'm accountable. Like, I don't want to let these guys down. So I'm going to keep going. Okay, let's go to verse 15 and 16. It says, at the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. So after that, the attendant fed them only vegetables instead of the food and wine provided for the others. So notice there's a result of their fast, right? They look better physically. People can tell, like, wow, something's changed. I don't know this for sure, but I would argue that their physical appearance is not just a result of their different diet, right? Like, we see the chief of staff saying, I'm nervous, you're going to be all scrawny and unhealthy, right? So he knew, like, hey, the food that the king gives, it does help. It helps you be strong. So I would argue that God actually showed up when Daniel and his friends stepped out in faith, right? They took a risk. I would argue that God showed up and actually boosted not just their spirits, but their bodies, right? And filled their bodies, strengthened their bodies as a result. I love, too, that somebody else saw the result of their fast, right? It says, you know, the attendant saw that there was a difference, and so he said, cool, let's keep doing it, right? So when you fast and when you share the fruit of your fast, it encourages those around you, right? And people go, oh, wow, that fast, like, that did something. So maybe I want to fast. Or, oh, my faith is just being built for fasting, that God shows up when this happens. So I would encourage you, you know, for me, for a long time, I believed, because it says in Matthew, right, when you fast, don't let others know that you're fasting, right? And so when Jared and I, confession, like, when Jared and I started talking, and he was like, man, I'm doing this fast, I'm doing that fast, I'm doing this, I'm like, that's not biblical. Like, you've got to keep your fast a secret, right? Otherwise, you know, it's not going to be, you're not going to have a reward. But what I learned from that is, as Jared shared his stories of fasting with me, it built my faith. it encouraged me, like, oh, he fasts, I should fast. And this is the impact it's having in his life. I want that. And so when you share about fasting, what God says in Matthew, it's about your heart, right? Are you doing it to be seen by people? Are you doing it to go, man, look how good I am, I'm fasting, ooh. Or are you doing it like out of humility, but man, I want to encourage you because this is what the Lord's doing in my life. So when you share, just test your heart, but share those testimonies so that other people can be encouraged. So we're talking about some of the specifics, the nitty gritty of like, how do you Daniel fast really well? So as we saw before with clarity, right? You want to pick a theme, and the more specific, the better, right? So with my story at the beginning of fasting for family, it's only because I had a specific theme that I can point to that fast and go, man, the breakthrough in my family is because of this fast. If I had just said, I'm going to do a 40-day fast and let's see what God does, I wouldn't really probably know all this breakthrough that's happening is a result of me fasting. So having a specific theme really helps you stay motivated because you're passionate about that thing. You're like, man, I really want that breakthrough, so I'm going to keep going. When I don't have a theme, I'm more likely to break my fast. It's happened. And just a little plug, Jared shared this, but we are going to be doing a Daniel fast, you know, as a church. We'll have a unified theme, we'll have resources and a prayer guide. So if you participate in that, you'll have that theme, and then probably you'll want to pick a personal theme as well that you can pray into. But that's a great way to do it in community and have that support from people around you. So like we said before, pick a duration, right? So you know when you're done. And then to do it well, you want to spend extra time in prayer, right? So typically the idea of this is the time you would be eating, you're spending in prayer. And I know it's not like always possible for everybody. Like we're married, we have a bunch of kids. And so dinner time is like our family time. So there are some nights where Brianna like is with all the kids and she's like, hey, go pray. Or having dinner, and I do. And there's some times where it's like, man, my kids just really need me to be present. We just need to have that conversation, that family time. So you got to kind of figure it out with those, you know, you're rooming with, or if you're married, a spouse, whatever. But one way, like I said, is you can tag team if you're married and have kids. It's like, hey, I'm going to go pray. Can you watch the kids? And I'll take over, and you can. Sometimes it just means waking up earlier and like Rick shared, right? Carving out that time sacrificially to pray. And then for me at work, you know, normally I have lunch with my coworkers, but when I'm fasting, I don't show up. I lock my classroom door and I just get on my face in my classroom and I seek the Lord. So if your place of work, you can find a private place, go out to your car or whatever and spend that time in prayer. Yeah, that's another way to do it. So I should probably tell you what a Daniel fast is. We haven't said that yet. But we see in the passage, right, Daniel and his friends, they say, hey, we're just going to eat vegetables and drink water. And so there's a couple different definitions, some variation. Because in Daniel 10, Daniel actually does another fast. And he says, I'm not going to eat any choice foods. And I'm not going to drink wine and I'm not going to use lotions. So he even does a lotion fast. Just kind of, I never really heard of that. But, you know, that's your thing. But there's some differences. So my kind of working definition that I typically use, and I'll include it on the guide so you have it written out, is I just don't eat meats, sweets, like refined grains and breads, or dairy products. So it's basically a plant-based diet, right? I mean, like fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, beans, mostly water, that kind of stuff. What I have done, though, too, in the past is when I do my Daniel fast, I'll pray. I'll ask the Holy Spirit, like, hey, what do you want me to give up? Because I Daniel fasted for a number of years, and I was like, man, it doesn't feel as sacrificial because, like, I've done it before, and there was one time he prompted me. He's like, okay, this time, like, don't eat fruits. I was like, oh man, that's hard because it like throws my whole diet off and I have to reconfigure everything, make sure I'm getting what I need. But ask the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead you into what that fast looks like for you. So do it out of relationship with Him. So I want to share some ways to Daniel fast in a healthy way. This will all be in that guide that you'll get at the end as well. But it's really easy when you Daniel fast to not get a ton of protein. If you want to handle that, Jared, or whatever. If you think about fruits and vegetables, if you think about grains, it's just a lot of carbs, a lot of carbohydrates. And so when you Daniel fast, I found I have to be really intentional about getting enough protein just to be healthy. So some good protein sources, beans, lentils, tofu, nuts, nut butters, seeds. And it might mean kind of being creative. It might mean changing some of your tastes and your palate, right? Not everybody likes all those things. Tofu is notoriously, the nasty food. But do some research and find ways to incorporate those into your meals, get enough protein. And then fats as well can be a challenge. Right? Just getting healthy fats in your diet is really important. So some good ones are avocados are great, coconut milk, kinds of oils like olive oil. And again, nuts and nut butters are all really great sources of fat. So do your research as you're going along. Like there's a ton of resources online of how do you Daniel fast in a healthy, sustainable way. But those are some suggestions of foods you can include. And then for me in particular, I'll share some of my go-to meals and snacks. These are just recommendations. Find what works for you. For me, I find like my favorite breakfast when I have to give up my eggs, I love is like a protein oatmeal. So I'll make oatmeal. I'll put some plant-based protein powder in there and I'll put some peanut butter, bananas, and you can add like nuts or raisins or coconut or whatever and make it really nice. But really healthy breakfast. I typically do like a burrito bowl, really easy. So I'll get a can of beans, I'll get some like instant rice, heat those up, and then I'll throw some salsa and some avocado on it, and you're done. So it's a super quick meal with a lot of protein and fat. And then I'll also do a bean chili. So I'll get our big stock pot, and I'll just fill that thing, throw some quinoa in there, some vegetables, diced tomatoes, and then I just shove it in Tupperwares. I have it for like days and days, and I don't have to cook. So there's all kinds of hacks and things you can use to help make it easy. I find my Daniel fast, I have to cook a lot because my family doesn't like Daniel fasting, you know? So my kids are eating different things. And so if you can take the time off of cooking, right? And then spend that time in prayer, it's helpful. Some snacks for me, like apples and peanut butter is a go-to, just a handful of nuts, some hummus. I try to make like homemade protein bars. They turn out pretty nasty most of the time. So like that's an experiment. You'll experiment with stuff. You'll figure out what works and make it work for you. So, all right, we're going to take this home. Let's go verse 17 to 20. So then God gave these four men an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom. And God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret the meaning of visions and dreams. When the training period ordered by the king was completed, the chief of staff brought all the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and no one impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the royal service. Whenever the king consulted them in any matter regarding wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times more capable than any of the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. So what stood out to me as I read this time is, we didn't read this, but if you go back to verse 4, it says all these people that the king's comparing them to, they're the strongest, the healthiest, the best looking, they're well-versed in every branch of learning, they're gifted with knowledge and good judgment, and they're suited to serve in the royal palace. So when the king says, hey, they're 10 times better, they're 10 times better than the best that the world power has to offer. Like, they're being compared with the elite. And they're not just a bit better, they're 10 times better. And so I just want to highlight that when we fast, when we seek the Lord, and we stop moving in our own strength and just our own wisdom, God shows up and He'll give you His wisdom, His knowledge, His revelation. And when you compare that to the wisdom of the world, there's no contest. So when you fast, trust, hey, God's going to show up and he's going to do more than I could imagine. And then I'll highlight as well, just a context here. If you go to chapter 2, you guys may have heard the story. The king has a dream, and the dream terrifies him. He doesn't know what it means. He asks all his magicians. No one can interpret it. And he finally asks Daniel, hey, what does my dream mean? And Daniel asks God and gets the interpretation. And actually, the dream itself, the king didn't even tell people. So totally supernatural. And then once Daniel tells the king the dream, here's the result. So I'm going to read it. If you want to go there, it's chapter 2, verse 47. But once Daniel tells him the dream, it says, the king said to Daniel, truly, your God is the greatest of gods, the Lord over kings, a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this secret. Then the king appointed Daniel to a high position and gave him many valuable gifts. He made Daniel ruler over the whole province of Babylon, as well as chief over all his wise men. And at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be in charge of all the affairs of the province of Babylon, while Daniel remained in the king's court. So, because of this fast in chapter 1, Daniel's able to, he got the gift of interpretation, and he can interpret the king's dream, which brings God glory, right? The king says, truly your God is the greatest of gods. This is coming from like a pagan king, right? And it paves the way for favor and for influence for Daniel and his friends, which is going to benefit everybody in the kingdom, right? So the question I asked myself here when I read this is, in chapter 1, what if Daniel hadn't fasted? What if Daniel hadn't made that second request after he got the no, and he's went, oh, I guess it's not going to happen. We'll just eat the meat, right? If he hadn't stuck to his convictions of sticking to God's like dietary restrictions that he knew was right, then I don't think chapter 2 would have happened. I don't think he would have been promoted. I don't think the king's dream would have been interpreted, right? And so our fasting is significant, right? I think Jared shared on it last week, right? That if he hadn't done that fast that he did for pride, right, then he probably wouldn't be here leading this church and this movement, right? So think about, you know, when you fast, how much does God have in store for you on the other side of that down the road that you don't even know is possible? He's gonna do a lot through that. So I'll share briefly, and then we'll wrap it up. But I did a fast a couple years ago, Daniel fast, and a buddy gave me a word during that fast. It was about Tron, so it's kind of a silly word. But I got the word, and I was like, I don't know what this means. That's really weird. And then it wasn't until like a month or two ago, I saw a billboard, like the new Tron movie came out. I saw a billboard. I didn't even know it was coming out. I saw this billboard for Tron, and God's like, read the word. Like, read it again. I was like, oh, okay. And this was 2.5 years ago I got this word. And when I read it, I was like, oh, that's for this season. That's for right now. And it made sense. And then the very next day, Jared texts me. Jared's like, I'm praying for you. And I got this image. And it was like Tron. I was like, what? It was so crazy. But when we fast, God's going to speak. And sometimes the word is for now, and sometimes it's for 2.5 years from now. So it's important to steward those words, write them down, and then in the proper time, God's going to speak through those words. So Jared, yeah, if you want to get those handed out, Jared's going to pass around a little Daniel fasting guide that I created for you guys. So on there, this is typically the structure I use when I fast. But it has some different sections for putting in your theme, putting in like, what are you praying for? Putting it, what you're praying for is really key, because when you go to look back at it, you'll see, oh, was that prayer request answered or not? You can see the fruit of it. And then some different words that God gives you, different things, so you can really steward that really well. And there's a backside. So if you flip it over, this is more the nitty gritty of food. So like, some different foods you can eat, some different recommendations. And then there's a calendar on there. I couldn't fit like a 40-day calendar, so it's like a 1-week calendar. But it's a place for you to brainstorm some meals and kind of plan, I find that I really need to be prepared when I Daniel fast, because I can't just go like, oh, what's in the fridge? I'm hungry. It's like, I gotta like make food that like I can eat and that's healthy. So I encourage you guys over the next, how many weeks do we have? 6 weeks or so before the corporate Daniel fast, you can use this, start brainstorming, start researching, throw some meals and snacks in there that you think will work for you. And just get yourself set up and ready. Start praying about what might be the theme for 2026 for yourself that the Lord wants you to pray into. So I'm going to close this just by praying, but I felt like the Lord is saying, and there's an opportunity for you today to be like Daniel in the sense that you make a resolve today, right? We have this fast coming up. It's still a little ways away, but I feel like there's an opportunity today for you to resolve inside yourself, hey, no matter what comes, no matter how hard it is, no matter how much work I have to put into it, I'm going to participate because I just want God, right? We see Daniel, he just wanted to obey God. He just wanted God to show up. He didn't know he was going to get wisdom and knowledge. I don't think he was asking for that. He didn't know God would use him to interpret the king's dream and all this stuff. But he said, I just want to obey. I just want to seek the Lord. And so as I pray for you, I just give you the invitation to, in your heart before the Lord, resolve, like, God, I want to give my life to seek you. I want to give my life to sacrifice and see, like, what will you do with my life if I just lay it on the altar? So I'm going to pray for us. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in everybody here. I thank you for the fast that we just did and the fruit that we've seen in our lives because of it. And I pray today, Lord, that you would make all of us like Daniel. Lord, you would put that spirit of Daniel within us, that you would make us people of your presence, people who pursue you, people who hunger for you, people who say, Lord, I want more of you at any cost. I want more of you if it means I can't have my Starbucks in the morning. I want more of you if it means I have to give up those desserts that I love or that meat that is so good. I want more of you no matter what it costs me. But I pray that you would make us bold, that when people confront us about our fast or when there's pushback, we can share boldly about you and why we're doing what we're doing. I pray that you make us people who are set apart and holy, that when the world looks, they'll go like, man, they're different. They're crazy. There's something here. And I pray that you would make us hungry. Make us hungry for you and for what only you can do in our lives, that the world will only get us so far and you can do anything. So Lord, establish today in a greater way in each of us a culture and a commitment to a lifestyle of prayer and fasting, of seeking your face and of sacrificing for you. In Jesus' name, amen.